Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.
Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Hello and happy Saturday. We're glad you're with us today. I'm Paul Jamison, the host of your show, Your Real Estate Today. We're live from the WBT studios, so thank you for being with us on this beautiful Saturday. I'm here today with my good friend Sandy Dickinson with Summit Funding. Welcome back, Sandy.
Hello. Good to be here.
Great to be here with you. Thank you for that. And, of course, my old buddy George is back.
Yay.
Always glad to have George in here as our producer today. So if you call in, the show is live. If you call in to ask a real estate question, now let me just tell you how things go. If you're a first-time listener, you know that you call 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. George takes the call. Just give him your name, a very brief description of what you'd like to ask on the air, and then we'll put you on the air with us, and Sandy and I will do our best to answer if you have a mortgage question, if you have a real estate question, something with your house. Should you build it? Should you do it? Should you change it? Should you sell it? Should you keep it? Should you rent it? Issue with a tenant? So many different things, and of course, everything you share also benefits someone else. So the number last time is 704-570-1110. But we've got a full show today. Sandy's going to be talking about a lot of things having to do with rates. She's going to talk about preparing for the loan, the art of preparation, I call it. We're going to talk some about investor loans and something, what did you call it? One day certainty?
One day certainty.
All right, we're going to talk about that too. All right, so let's start the show off by the numbers. We're going to give you some market statistics and things. I do this about once every 2 months, and so it's rapid run. So absorb what you can. There's a whole lot of it, and so we're going to just go right at it today. All right, and some of these will surprise you. All right. In May, nationally, the top five markets, the average price of homes in these top five markets, and I'll start with number five, San Diego, average home price, $610,000. Number four on the list, Honolulu, $775,500. Number three, Anaheim, CA.
Really?
$810,000. Number two, San Fran, $917,000.
Wow. Average.
The number one market for average home price, care to guess, guys?
LA.
LA is a good guess, but no. Sandy? Right state.
Oh, good state. What would it be? It's not Sacramento.
San Jose, California. Get ready for this one, guys. Average home price, $1,373,000.
Wow.
Yowza.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, that'd be an interesting payment.
Be a nice mortgage.
I wonder what McDonald's pays there. That's what I'm thinking.
$9, $10.
I'd almost commute. All right. Here are some April numbers nationally. Our numbers were down about 2.5% over the previous month in home sales. They're down about 1.4% over last year. Median sales price nationally in the month of April was $257,900. That's across the whole nation, which is an increase of 5.4% in the last year. That's pretty good. In April, nationally, there were 1.8 million listings, down 6.3% from last year, and average days on market nationally, 26.
Wow, that's short.
I know. Okay, how about we talk about Charlotte?
Yeah.
You ready for that? All right, quick facts on Charlotte. New listings, May 17 to May 18 is up 3.3%, and year-to-date down 1.3%. Lack of inventory, folks. Pending home sales last year over this year, May to May, up 9.7%. This year, year-to-date, only up 2.4%. Lack of inventory. Closed sales year-over-year down 4.2%. And year-to-date, down 1%. Why?
Low inventory.
There we go.
Better than the national.
You guys getting the theme here? Yeah. List to close days on market, year-over-year, is down 10 days from 97 to 87, so about 10%. And now average days year-to-date is 97. That's just still down a little less than 7%. All right. Average list price for our region, $314,000 May to May, $341,052. I did a dyslexic move there. $341,052. Year to date, $334,496. So from beginning of the year to now, it's up about 5%. All right, average sales price, $299,690 May to May, up 10%, and year to date, $283,048. $283,048, so up 7.5%. Percentage of original list price versus sale price. So if it listed for 100, it sold for what?
110.
So, no. It sold for 97.5 year over year, or 97.5%, and year to date 97%. So pretty stable. It used to be in the old days a lot lower. So if you're getting 97.5 or 97% of what you're asking,
that's pretty good.
Right? Inventory right now, year over year, May 17 to May 18, is down 20%.
Wow.
And month supply went from 2.9 months in May of 2017 to 2.2 months in May of 2018, down 24%.
It's dog eat dog out there.
Okay, why?
Low inventory.
Okay, so I can't really ask that as a quiz question to win a prize because everybody's going to know the answer. All right, here we go. Here are some national highlights. You want some national highlights?
Yep.
All right. Is tax reform preventing a breakout in the real estate market? Remember, mortgage interest rate deductions max out at $750. Property tax deductions max out at $10,000. Capital gains are as before, and standard exemptions have doubled. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Business income has more deductions. 99% of homeowners pay less than $10,000 in property taxes. 98% of homeowners have mortgages less than $750,000. So
the answer is no.
No.
That was going to be my guess anyway.
Okay. All right. Now, what is the largest segment of the market that wants to buy. And we're going to talk about that and the largest segment of the market that doesn't want to buy. Okay. When we come back for the break, Sandy Dickinson with Summit Funding. I'm Paul Jamison, Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Investments, and Jamison Property Management, your host to show your real estate today. Happy Saturday. Much to come. Stay with us. We'll be right back on 1110-993-W. BT. Welcome back to Show Your Real Estate Today. Thank you so much for being with us. I'm Paul Jamison, your host of the show, here with my good friend and a partner to Jamison, Sandy Dickinson with Summit Funding. Okay, before the break, we talked a little bit about some statistics. And one of the things that I was going to share with you as I finish up the statistics that, I'm fascinated by this stuff. The largest segment of the market that wants to buy, Sandy, what do you think that is?
Well, I think it's the millennials.
You think it's the millennials? Yeah, you're right. 25 to 34 that want to buy. Okay. What do you think is the largest segments? I got to kind of combine them together because they're relatively large between the two that doesn't want to buy.
I've been back and forth on this, but it would make sense to be the older people.
Yeah, 55 and over are our largest segments that don't want to buy.
Maybe they're tired.
Well, they want to travel.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to take care of stuff. I'm a hand raiser on that. You know, I'm definitely a hand raiser. You know, 704-570-1110. If you've got a real estate question, we'd love to talk to you. We're here live, Sandy and I. Bring it to us, and we'll, you know, don't be scared. Just pick up the phone, and we'll put you on with us, and it's fun. All right, so everybody talks about, and Lee, hang on, we'll get to you. Everybody talks about Googling, right?
Right.
Okay. So when they talk about Googling, and you have Googling, is it a good time to sell or a good time to buy? Which one do you think is Googled the most?
Oh, well, I would guess everyone knows it's a good time to sell, so I would say, is it a good time to buy?
That is right. Three times more people Google. They need to send me money for saying their name this many times. A good time to buy, okay? All right. So how do we boost home construction? And then, Lee, hang on. I'll get to you. Don't hang tight. I want to take your question. How do we boost home construction? Rapid round. Here it goes. Provide regulatory relief to the banks. Remove tariffs on lumber and building materials. Don't be too stringent on zoning and land use, and rework condominium defect laws. Train new workers for the construction industry. Lastly, projections into 2019 say that the national existing home sales will still, into 2019, tick up another 4%. Per year. So 2018, 2019, 4% increase. And those much smarter than me also say the median home price nationally will rise 8% over the next 2 years, meaning 4% per year for a total of 8. That data comes from Lawrence Yoon, Director of Economics for the National Association of Realtors. All right, Lee. How are you?
Doing great, yourself?
Doing good. How can I help you, sir?
I've just got, this is my first flip.
Okay. Okay.
I bought the house, redid the house. It's four bedroom, two and a half bath. It's right at 2,000 square feet.
Yep.
A little over a half acre. A lot of activity, a lot of showing. I'm getting a lot of feedback on it. It's really nice. The price is right. But I haven't had any offers, and I've got 15 more days, and it'll be on the market for 4 months.
Okay. All right. So now, why do you think it hasn't gotten an offer? Just if your gut was to tell you why.
Okay, the area.
Okay. All right. And so it's an emerging area is what you're saying.
Well, it's a upcoming area, but it's not where it needs to be.
Okay. All right. I'm going to offer you two suggestions, and they're completely opposite suggestions, okay?
Okay.
So hang with me for a minute. and they're the total opposite end of the totem pole. Okay? Are you calling back the realtors, or is your realtor calling back the realtors that are doing the showings and giving the feedback?
You know, Paul, I really think that's the biggest problem is my realtor.
Okay. Well, here's what I would suggest, because, you know, it sounds to me like one of the things that you may be able to do to help coach them a little bit is ask them to give you a weekly report from the other realtors after they call after the showings. Because then if there are objections there, you can help overcome those objections by getting real person-to-person, voice-to-voice feedback versus the feedback that comes through the computer. I find it to be really helpful, and I think your realtor will too, and I think you will too specifically. Because let me tell you a technique that is used rarely, but it works. It's called a reverse offer. Have you heard of that before, Lee?
Never. No.
Okay. A reverse offer is if you've got somebody that's been there twice and they really love it and you see the feedback, you write them an offer.
Okay.
You with me? So have the agent write up an offer to purchase and send it to that buyer. You sign it, you execute it, and you send it. It doesn't work all the time. But when it does work, I guarantee it'll make you happy.
Wow.
So try that. The second thing would be is, again, depending on the cost of your leverage in the flip, if you have any leverage in the flip, is for you to hold the property for 12 months and rent it. Because typically what ends up happening, Lee, is that renter becomes your buyer.
Okay.
It doesn't liquidate you out as fast, and that's not always right for somebody. It depends on how you, if you paid cash or if you leveraged the home itself. It just depends on your situation and what financially can make sense for you. I don't know if you got a short-term loan or long-term loan.
I just borrowed the retirement money and paid cash for the purchase.
Okay. Well, I would consider that. Because I think in an emerging area, once you get them in there, once you get them unpacked, and once they see the growth, I sell about 40 properties to tenants every year.
Wow.
And it's another creative way to get you some cash flow, Lee.
Yeah, the hassle of, you know, I'm not sure how to go about getting a decent renter.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want them to tear up everything that has been done, and I have to go back and redo it.
Right. Well, Lee, let me put it to you this way, okay? If you want to talk to me about that offline, because you know I have a management company, I'd be happy to coach you on some things and see if that's appropriate for you.
And do you guys list properties in Gaston County?
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Because he's only got 15 more days. I only did 4 months with him.
Right. Well, I'm happy to talk to you about that, but I'd also encourage you to work with him and give him a shot at maybe calling and getting you some better feedback. I always want to try to allow somebody, if they've really put an investment in time in, to take maybe these last time with them to maybe they can make a quick sale for you. If not, and the time is up and you want to talk, I'll leave that up to you.
Okay.
All right, sir.
I greatly appreciate your help.
Oh, Lee, thank you. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. 704-570-1110. Lee, that was a real nice call.
Yeah, that was good.
He's a good guy. I wish him well with that. Give us a call. We'll answer your real estate questions. And by the way, guys, Sandy is here with Summit Funding. If you've got lending questions, should you refi? What's going on with the rates? What products are out there? We're going to talk about some, but, you know, everything is different. And, you know, grab her while she's here because she, you know, she's actually sitting here right now. 704-570-1110. So, Sandy, let's talk for a minute about these, and I kind of teased it a little bit earlier about, well, since we had Lee, an investor loan.
Okay.
You know, how are they so much different than a regular loan?
Well, we want a stronger buyer for an investor property, so you do need to put more money down than the minimum on a primary residence or a second home. So that's a main difference. You also want to have super good credit, or you're going to be paying a much higher rate. So those are the two main things. We look for really stable people. They used to say you had to have experience. We don't really require that anymore. So new people can come in and invest, which is nice. But I would always suggest putting 25% down. We can do as little as 15%, but then you're going to have mortgage insurance, and there's a big rate bump for anything above the 75%. So I recommend 25% down.
So 25% at least down is what you're saying.
That's what I think is the sweet spot. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I do too, Sandy. So you can still get a 30-year loan?
Oh, sure.
Okay. So
and here's another nice thing. We can when we do an appraisal, if we order a special schedule from the appraiser, mm-hmm. well, we can count the typical rent for the area to offset your payment.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I thought there was all of this accredited this and doing that. What happened to all that junk?
Yeah, out the window.
Okay. Guys, I want you to listen to what she's saying right now. Because a lot of the qualifications of it used to be, help me go back to the past there. We'll mm-hmm. sing the Brady Bunch theme in a minute. If you were wanting to be an investor, your very first rental house, mm-hmm. or you had another rental house, you had to have that rental house, and you had to show rental income, and you had to be accredited. Wasn't that the term, investor? So that you had it at least a year?
2 years experience, 2 years. Yeah.
Ah, ha, ha, that's what I'm talking about. So that's out the window?
Yep.
Okay. Well, we got some more to talk about. Sandy's here, Summit Funding, Paul Jamison, your host. We're in the studio live on the show Your Real Estate Today. Stay with us. We're rocking out. Related to real estate. Is there a mosh pit in here?
I know, it's fun.
Pretty crazy. George, you never cease to amaze me. The show Your Real Estate Today. We're live from the WBT studios. Paul Jamison, your host here with the Jamison family of companies, real estate, property investment, property management, with Sandy Dickinson with Summit Funding. If you're live.
If you're alive.
If you're alive, that would help. And want to call us, if you're a zombie, we don't want to hear from you. If you're out there, we're live, so call us 704-570-1110. We're going to put Jerry on in a second. But if you have a real estate question, we'd love to hear from you. And Sandy, before we pick up Jerry, just you and I were talking at the break. Mm-hmm. You gave me a piece of information on what we call a homestead or an incidental landlord or someone that just decides to rent their home. Tell me a little bit about the classification of that income for how it's counted, because this is all new. I have not heard this. So this is like breaking news to me.
So we call it a departing residence. So they're going to buy another house. They're leaving the house they're in. They want to rent the house that they're leaving rather than selling it. And they get a lease on it, not a family member, but a stranger.
Stranger danger.
A stranger lease.
Okay.
We can count 75% of the rental income to offset their monthly mortgage payment.
That's pretty fantastic because they didn't used to do that.
Yeah, we're going back to old school.
I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, if the money's coming in, why not?
Right. You
know, it's mm-hmm. real. Okay. All right, Jerry, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? And thank you for taking my call.
Of course. How can I help you?
We don't have a 401k or whatever, so we're thinking of using rental property, taking a mortgage on it, and using that to buy more property and try to flip home. Is that a good idea or not?
Okay, I'll let Sandy talk from the financial side, and then I'm going to talk from the practical side. Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Sandy, what do you think?
I think if you have sufficient equity in your rental house, that it's a good idea to do that. You're leveraging your assets for your next purchase, and we're good with that. It's a little tricky because if you're going to do that and you disclose it to the lender, then you always have to write, why are you taking cash out letter? So if they know you're going to get into new debt, then they're going to have to see what that debt is in order to calculate your debt ratio and make sure that you're still good once you buy the next property. So it's a little tricky that way, but we have lots of people do it. We have people that go ahead and take the cash out and then just park it, and then when they're ready to buy, then they deal with the purchase of the new house.
Yeah. And here's where I stand with it, Jerry, okay?
Uh-huh.
A lot of it has to be a personal decision, right? So you have to decide where your risk tolerance lies. Where are you comfortable? Based on how old you are, based on your personal other financial situation, based on your feelings of balance related to debt versus not debt, and where those properties are and how stable they are. Let me give you an example, okay? Let's say you own a property that costs or is worth $100,000, all right? And you owe $50,000 on it, okay? So you've got $50,000 worth of equity there.
Uh-huh.
You know that you're going to be able to borrow potentially up to $25,000. You with me so far?
Yes.
Okay. So, what will $25,000 buy you versus the risk? Exactly. So, when you look at that scenario, look at what that next step is going to be and make sure that there are sufficient funds to buy you a property that creates the same stability you already have. Okay, so I'm semi risk averse, but I believe in real estate investings, and what Dave Ramsey calls good debt, bad debt, right?
Uh-huh. We follow him.
Yeah, me too, and I like a lot of what he says. So when I look at it, I use the same benchmark of if I'm taking out $25,000. I may wait, and I may wait until I've got $50,000, which would allow me to purchase a property that would be more stable in any rental environment, bad, good, or indifferent.
I think maybe I wasn't clear. We want to flip it and sell it.
I thought you wanted to take a loan on it and keep it.
I want to take a loan on...
You want to sell it, take the equity out, and buy something else.
And flip it and sell it, yes.
Ah, okay. Well, I answered the wrong question. But that was a good answer for the wrong question, I think. All right, so here's the second answer to your real question. And that is that you have to look at the amount of gain that you would have in the property and the potential of what you would do with that gain. I'm going to tell you this. A lot of properties that I evaluate, like what you're talking about, have gotten to mm-hmm. a place where they're not going to appreciate much more. All right? So depending on where your property is, a good real estate agent, and I can do it for you if you want, can look at the piece of property and say, you know what? This is a really good time to sell this. Here have been the increases, and based on what I know, I can project with not a full degree of certainty, but with trends to say we're about as good as it's going to get, and then to move that property forward.
So what about getting the money elsewhere? We have very good credit, and then just using the equity out of a rental house to...
Purchase another.
To pay for the repairs. To fix it up.
Yeah. Again, so here's where you start, Jerry. I'm going to tell you where to start, okay? Two places.
Okay.
One on Sandy's side, one on my side. All right? On my side, and I need to tell you this is a perfect question. So on my side,
tell me what?
Yeah, what you need to do is you need to start with me. I need to tell you you're asking a perfect question. A good question. It's positive. Compliment. Okay. You need to start with the piece of real estate that you're interested in selling or leveraging. And that we'll talk about first. So if you want to call me, it's 846-DUNN, 846-3663. And I can give you a quick snapshot of what the dollars look like. But you really need to talk to Sandy. Because Sandy is the key. If you can't get what you want from Sandy, there's no sense in doing what you talked about with me. Make sense?
Yeah.
You need to know where you can go, and you need to know what you can go there with.
So how do I get in touch with Sandy?
You can yell really loud. She'll listen, but she'll give you her phone number. Hold on. You got something to write with?
I do.
All right, Jerry, go ahead. Or Sandy, go ahead.
Okay, call me at 704-577-0144.
Okay. Did you get that?
Got it.
All right, and I'm 846-3663.
Got it.
All right?
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling, Jerry. You're one of those good callers. You ask good questions. I like it. Call again.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Steve, what's going on?
Well, a long story short.
Yeah, because we only have a minute and a half, so go ahead.
Okay. I bought a piece of property that went through probate, had been quit claim deed, and now I'm finding out that there might be a possible mortgage lien on the property, but the seller sold it to me with a clear deed.
Okay. Do you have a general warranty deed?
Yes.
Oh, then you're good.
Okay. Well, like I say, and they went through probate, and when they did the quit claim, this mortgage company never put a lien or anything else back on the property.
Did you get title insurance?
Yes, I did.
Ha! Steve, you're a genius. You just covered up your B-U-T-T.
Well, I was going to say, it's only a $24,000 mortgage, but I really don't want to pay an additional $24,000 is what it comes down to.
Dig out that closing statement and that policy and start dancing.
I appreciate
you're
it.
You're covered. You. That's why you get it, Steve. You
know what? It costs about $500 and
I had the same thing happen to a client of mine for $64,000 lien, and he had title insurance, and he did a title search, and he had a general warranty deed, and his B-U-T-T was okay, exclamation point, just
happened
like
to me
yours.
Too.
Yeah, see?
Happened
Steve,
to me too.
Smart man. You get the Gold Star Award, my friend.
Well, I'm dancing. Thank you.
Yes, sir. All right. Well, check with the real estate attorney and get the process started. And you can call Costner Law. They'd be glad to help you. The show, Your Real Estate Today, Sandy Dickinson, Paul Jamison. We're having fun live in the studio. Stay with us here on 99.3 WBT. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Show Your Real Estate Today. Glad you're with us. It's Paul Jamison, your host. With the Jamison Companies, Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Investments, and Jamison Property Management. Here with Sandy Dickinson with Summit Funding. Hey, Sandy, time's moving quick, isn't it?
I know.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah. If you're with us and you have not had a chance to call, please do. 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110 with your real estate questions or things that you need from us. I got Sandy here. If you have rate questions or financing questions, if you have questions about your home, your rental property, anything you'd like to talk about, we're here to share with you. 704-570-1110. All right. Sandy, let's talk about one-day certainty. We've been teasing about that.
Yep. Hot off the press.
Ding, ding, ding.
So it's a new, it's a conventional product that Fannie Mae has put out. And what they're going to do, and I'm sure everyone will follow, all the other investors, but they're going to go out and get your employment information, go out and get your bank statements. There's a secure website that you put your login information on for that. It will minimize the amount of paper people have to give to us, including sole proprietor tax returns like Schedule C, as long as we don't have to add back depreciation or some other things, which could happen.
Yeah, could.
But so it'll be and a lot of those may come out with no appraisals too, because they do their own valuation, online valuation. So ultimately, the goal is to minimize paperwork for the client and the mortgage company, and get you much quicker approvals. It's going to be, maybe a few percent initially, and then grow to hopefully a significant number of loans that we can do that with. We can still choose not to do it that way if we need to massage a loan to get it through. But if it's a vanilla slam dunk, then it should save a lot of time.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, anything to streamline the process, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty labor intensive.
Yeah, because I tell you, Sandy, I mean, what I was talking about earlier, you know, kind of kickstarting the housing market and keeping it more vibrant, you know, on your end, it's still not easy.
No, it's still not easy. Getting better, though.
Well, yeah, it's a lot better than it was a couple years ago.
Yeah,
you know,
that was
boy,
rough.
Boy, oh boy.
That was rough.
Yeah, they called my doctor. That's what I'm saying. That's crazy.
We no longer need blood samples.
You know, blood samples, DNA, yeah. So, in this process, one of the things that has been something that you kind of brought up was about bank statements and online stuff. And
yeah, it's we require typically 2 months bank statements, which hopefully don't have a lot of large deposits that can't be sourced. But when people give those to us, like, they don't get their bank statements in the mail anymore. If they do, they toss them away. So then we ask them to go online and get them, and they print the activity for 2 months. That doesn't even have their name on it. Yeah. And we can't associate that account with them because it doesn't have their name on it. So we really have to have the paper PDF statements. And a lot of times that last page doesn't have any information on it. But if it's if your bank statements are 1 of 5 or 1 of 6, we have to have all 6 pages, or we're just going to keep bugging you. And that's a huge frustration for our clients. But we definitely have to have all the pages. And if you move money around a lot, we have to know where it came from. And don't put any cash in the account, because we'll have to back it out.
Oh, yeah, I guess it has to season, right?
It has to season.
Okay, all right. Okay, Julie, we're going to try to squeeze you in before the end. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you today?
I'm good. How can I help you?
I'm calling on behalf of my daughter. She lives in South End, and she's renting a kind of a luxury apartment. And she'd really like to purchase something in the Charlotte area, but it's a constant struggle to find a location, and then how does she eventually get out of that loop of renting, breaking the lease or changing, you know, not signing up? It seems to be hard. Do you have any suggestions for millennials looking to buy property?
Can she qualify for a loan, Julie?
Yes, she could.
Okay, so that's the first part. So prepare that and have the financial piece ready. Have her call Sandy, or, you know, and Sandy can at least get her a pre-approval letter, not a pre-qualification letter, but a pre-approval letter. And there's a big difference between the two. That's really where you got to start. So it takes a little longer to get a pre-approval, right, Sandy?
Yeah, because we do have to see the documentation.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so there's your leverage point, having those documents. The second thing is if she's got a lease, there's two ways to deal with a lease. Number one is if they go to a month-to-month, if the end of the term, you'll pay a little bit more, but at least it gives you the flexibility of not having to sign up for another year. If they don't, then many places will do what's called a lease assumption. That means that as soon as they find a tenant that takes that makes the owner whole again, they will release you from the lease. But I do know if she purchases a house and she's got a lease, that still does count against her if it closes before that. Right, Sandy? Because it's still considered an obligation she's paying for.
On tight loans, we do ask that question.
Right.
Okay. So can I ask an addendum question? How long can she get like a pre-approval letter or whatever and still be looking for a home before that expires, so to speak?
The credit documents are good for 4 months, but it's super easy to give me new ones.
You just update a couple.
Yeah, the credit report is good for 4 months. We don't have to repull that again for 4 months. Same with bank statements. And we get W-2s and pay stubs. We do like them within 30 days of the application date. But all that's easy. So I would say 4 months should give her enough time, hopefully.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I appreciate y'all's information. I'm headed to look at some places for her. So I really appreciate your answering those questions.
All right. Well, good. That sounds like we'll have us another homeowner here soon. Thanks, Julie.
Hopefully. Thank you, too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye now. All right. Well, that was nice. She's out there shopping for her daughter.
I hope she finds something.
Yeah, I hope so, too. I hope she doesn't end up buying it for her. Get her that paper so she can borrow the money, Julie. Okay. So, real quick, Sandy, let me go through how to invest in a rising market. So I got rapid run, right? I got like 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
All right, ready? How do you invest and buy rental property in a rising market? Here's the first thing. You must first pick a horse. Pick an area. Pick, work at it and understand it. So pick a horse, you know, then ride that thing. Focus on an area, go with it, run it, learn it, do it. Number two, get daily updates. Work with a real estate agent. Set up a search. Get the real data. Don't rely on the Z place and the T place because they're not paying me advertising dollars. And shop realtor signs. You shop realtor signs, you're wasting your time. You're going to be mad quick.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Number three, get your lender in order. Sandy?
Yep, I can write a really strong letter.
Yes, she can, and she did it for me today. Number four, when you find something, craft a good offer. Lowballing will get you frustrated. If the home has just been listed, don't take that approach, and don't think that just because you have cash, they're going to fall all over you. That's not how it works.
Mm-mm.
All right? Five, look at the numbers. Just last week, I walked away from a deal because the numbers did not meet the threshold. Get out of the emotional. This is investment property. Don't get frustrated. Be patient. Sometimes it strike fast, and sometimes you write a few to get what you want. It is not a fast process. Seven, remember, you're not living there. Number eight, look at property with reasonable eyes. Okay, if you hate the paint colors, don't rule it out. Number nine, don't expect the seller to cut the price and pay for your updates. Come on. Number 10, look at the big picture. What are the returns, not just for money, but in 5 years, and set reasonable expectations for that return. All right. So, Sandy, if somebody wants to get a loan, to buy a home, to work with their rate, and to work with you, how do they get you?
They call me direct, 704-577-0144.
And she answers her phone, by the way.
I'm a freak
about
it.
Just so you know, yeah. If you're interested in investment property, if you're interested in listing your home, if you're interested in buying a home, we'd love to help you at Jamison. If you are an incidental investor and you've got properties and you're tired of handling them yourself, the Jamison family of companies are there for you. Give us a call at 846-DUNN, 846-3663. Thanks for being with me again.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.